being invited to a beautiful feast, a dinner party, and the Lord Jesus Christ being the guest of honor, sitting right at the table with you and being able to talk to him and listen to him as you eat. What a tremendous blessing that is. And in our chapter in Luke, that's exactly what's happening. The Lord is there and they're having this wonderful dinner party in a beautiful home and enjoying the Lord's company. This past week, I went to Michaela Cathio's grand opening for her campaign headquarters in Old Forge, PA here, and they had a lot of food there, and I thought about eating it, and then I thought, no, because I've been invited to a dinner afterward at with Angela Bajeski as the cook, and I thought, I'll opt for that one. And I'm glad I saved my appetite, because the pasta was to die for, the sauce, the chicken parmesan was incredible, and all the fixings went with it, and it was great to see Bob Sr. there and his wife and the Bajeski family and my wife, and we were enjoying that dinner. What a nice time that is. I hope I'm not losing my congregation. You're getting hungry. But in Luke chapter 14, verse 15, I'm going to read these words to you, and you follow. It says, "And when one of them sat at meat with him," speaking of Jesus, "heard these things, he said unto him," speaking of the Lord, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." I don't know if you're familiar with this, but there's a big dinner party coming after the Lord brings us through the rocky times that are prophesied in Daniel's 70th week. After that, and after a 30-day reclamation cleanup period and a 45-day transition period, Daniel 12, on the first day of the thousand-year reign of Christ from Mount Zion over there in Jerusalem, on that first day, there's going to be a huge dinner. It's called a wedding feast because there's already been a wedding in heaven of those that have accepted the Lord as their Savior. I hope you're there. I know I'm going to be there. And then afterward, there's going to be that reception, and we're coming down. And how many of you have eaten wedding dinner, reception dinners after a wedding? Yeah. That's going to end all. That's going to be the greatest one. What a dinner. That's Jesus will be there, the guest of honor. After that, he'll serve the Lord's table and will eat symbols of his broken body and his shed blood, which is non-alcoholic wine. Wow, there's going to be a great meal there, and it's going to be a blessing. The angels will be the waiters. Jesus will be the pastor. And all those that have repented of their rejection of Jesus Christ, their unbelief, and have trusted him will be there, clothed in white robes. What a dinner that will be. And I know I'll spill something on those white robes. That's just the way I am. If my wife were here, she's probably down with the nursery. If she were here, she'd tell you, yes, I do that. But you know what? It'll just go shoo, and disappear just like that. And the Bible puts it this way. It says, the Apostle John said, "Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God." Revelation 19:9. You know, you read the book of Revelation, and now you begin to realize all these things are ready to come to pass, aren't they? We can see a global digital currency that I abhor, but the great dictator is going to use that to control the world one day. We pray that's held off, but he's going to try to bring that in, and he will bring it in. But after all of that happens, and after the Lord judges that, and the blood will be as high as the horse's bridle over there in Armageddon, In that great final battle, I was there in 2016 on that battlefield. Napoleon called it the world's greatest battlefield. After all that and after the cleanup, there's going to be this wonderful dinner to inaugurate the new kingdom of God, the new administration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm excited about that. And it says, like I preach, let's get ready to reign. If you're saved, you're being prepared to reign with Jesus Christ. And here's what it says in Revelation. I just read it. I'll read it again. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper. And you know what? I had a guy, used to be the youth director of the church. He texts me about some questions on prophecy, and I just poured out a bunch of stuff to him. I'll see. But you know what? There are a lot of prophecies right now that are rolling off the parchment of the scripture and onto the pavement of fulfillment. And if you know these prophecies, you'll know right where we are. Right where we are. And where are we right now? We are one after the other going to be fulfilled, and it's all going to culminate with Jesus coming back and rapturing his bride to meet him in the air. And then he'll finish things up on earth, and then will be the judgment seat of Christ to give out rewards in his kingdom, and then the marriage in heaven and the marriage supper of the Lamb on earth to inaugurate his kingdom. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah about this marriage supper. It says, speaking of the non-alcoholic wine of the grapes and the dinner, it says, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. Amen. I eat fat things and I get fat if I do. But then I won't get fat. And that's great. A feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth. For the Lord hath spoken, Isaiah 25, 6 and 8. So here in Luke chapter 14, our Lord wants you who have received him as your personal Savior to know that you have a job to do before he comes back to catch up his bride in the sky. You have a job to do, and I have a job to do. You are to invite people who have not yet received Christ to get saved and to come to this beautiful marriage supper and to eat of this wonderful dinner before he reigns on the earth. And in verses 16 through 24 of Luke 14, our Lord gives you a parable, which is a story from everyday life with a spiritual meaning to help you understand what you are to be doing until the Lord comes back. And so the title of my sermon this morning from Luke 14 is endure excuses and increase your invitations. Endure excuses and increase your invitations. And I want to say three things about that. Number one, because your invitations are urgent. Look with me at verse 17 of Luke 14. I'll read it. It says, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. For all things are now ready. Now, when you make a supper and the meal is hot, do you want people to come right now and eat it? Yes, you do. Because it's hot. You've been working, you've been preparing it. Now, come on. And that's exactly what it's saying here. The dinner has already been prepared. You say, who was the dinner? Who was the meat? Jesus is the meat. He had to be offered. He had to go through the fire of suffering to pay for this dinner and to provide for this wonderful meal for you and for me. And now the dinner is ready and you are invited to partake of that dinner. And here is a parable that is describing that. How did Christ prepare it? By dying on the cross for our sins, by being buried, and by being raised from the dead. When I was asked to lead in prayer at Donald Trump's rally, I spoke about Donald Trump getting hit with a bullet in the ear, which was meant for his head. But he turned, hit him in the ear. His blood was there. He went down on the platform, but he came back up and went, fight, fight, fight. And I said, you know what? My Savior did one better than that. He took our sins and went down, not just on a platform, went down into the grave. He was there for 3 days and three nights, and he rose again. And now he is in heaven, and he's saying to you, come, come, come. Come to me, that you might have life. Come to me, that all your sins would be forgiven, and you can wear a white robe of my righteousness forever. Come to me. You say, well, what do I come with? What do I get? Nothing. It's a free dinner invitation. What a blessing that is to have the privilege. You have the privilege to invite people to that wonderful meal. And our Lord says to you, if you haven't received it, I invite you now. You say, Pastor, how can you invite me? The Lord told me to invite you. The Bible says the Spirit and the bride say, come. I'm part of that bride that say, come, come, come to Jesus. I came, come. And the Holy Spirit has been sent down, and he's tugging at your heart. If you haven't accepted this gift, that you come. And if you don't come, you'll be on the outside looking in. And you won't eat. We preached last week about the delicious feast that we have to feed on Jesus Christ. Eternal life is not just a home in heaven. Eternal life is to know God, is to know Jesus. And ever since I've been 17, I have been eating his flesh and drinking his blood, spiritually speaking. And he's inviting you to do that. And if you don't do that, you are going to suck much sorrow forever. And I don't want you to do that. Now, the Bible says there's no middleman. You don't have to come through the church. You don't have to come through some sacrament. You don't have to come through some ordinance. The Bible says, for there's one mediator. First of all, it says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And he will give you himself personally the forgiveness of all your sins and everlasting life. Have you come to Christ? We have young people here. You've been brought up in Sunday school and church and Christian school, but you still have to come to Christ yourself and personally receive him. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so this is a gospel dinner that's offered to all. That's why it says in verse 16, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. What does that mean? It means that the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, when I talk to people and they claim to be leading churches, and the churches just basically have religious lectures. And maybe they do certain things, but they don't do the main thing like they should, and that is invite people to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. That is what we're supposed to be doing. That's what this church, and I'm saying I have to endure excuses and increase my invitations, because these invitations are urgent. The dinner's ready. Our pastor school leader, who's now in heaven, used to say, soup's on, when it was time to hear something from the Word of God. And when the dinner's ready and the meal is hot, you don't want to let it get cold. And so it's urgent. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The devil will tell you, put it off. The world will tell you there are other things more important. No, there's nothing more important. than the salvation of your soul? What will it profit if you get everything this world has to offer and you still die and go to hell forever? Jesus is the only person that can save you, because he's the only one that never sinned as a man and who died as a man for the sins of men, the God-man. And he offers you a free gift. And it's urgent that you receive it. And so today I want to say that you may need to endure excuses when you're offering that gift to people, but you need to increase your invitations of people, because there are so many that need it. Matthew 28 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." We're to go to all people. I'm so glad today that there are many people here, and no doubt that here this morning there are some of you that need to be taught that the good news is that it's not through getting baptized, it's not through a priest, it's not through some sacrament, it's not through some work that you do. It's for by grace that you're saved, through simple faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. All that message is so needed, and today it's so urgent that you shouldn't wait till tonight. You certainly shouldn't wait till tomorrow. You say, "When should I get saved?" Right now. Yes. Come to him. You say, "How can I come?" Come by faith. And the Bible says the word is near you. It's even in your mouth, the word of faith. And so we endure excuses and we increase our invitations because of the urgency of getting people saved. Secondly, because your excuses are prevalent. Not only are your invitations urgent to get people saved, but your excuses will be prevalent. I want you to know that. In fact, when they were invited to this delicious and wonderful meal, the Bible says in verse 18 of Luke 14, "And they all with one consent began to make excuse." You know what? I've heard a lot of excuses in my life. Why I can't be saved. Why I can't come to church. I've heard them all. You know what Billy Sunday said about an excuse? An excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. And you see it here. And I saw it Thursday night when we went out. Steve Manning is here. Brenda Manning is here. And we went out together. We sent out about five different teams Thursday, and we went out and we were in downtown Scranton telling people, "You're invited to this wonderful meal with Jesus." And I heard excuses. I hear rejection. You say, "Well, what are you talking about, preacher?" Well, I want you to notice right here in verse 18. Look at these excuses. Let's look at them. First of all, it says, "And they made with one consent excuse." Then it said, "The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. I can't come to the dinner. I bought a piece of ground. Now I got to go see it." Now, what's the problem with that excuse? How many of you would buy a home and then look at it after you bought it? It's a baloney excuse. Now, Brother Joe Slobodnik is an architect. If I'm going to buy a home, I'm going to ask Brother Joe to help me check it out. He's going to look at it. There might be a problem with the foundation. There might be a problem with a bearing wall. There might be a problem with a this or a that. Brother Joe will see things I don't see. But I'm going to be there. And I'm going to check it out before I put the money down to buy. But this guy's saying, "Well, I bought a piece of land. Now I got to check it out. I already bought it. I got to check." That's an excuse. Do you see? The Lord sees through these excuses. Here, he's come all the way out of heaven. He left the angels. He left worship. He got spit upon. He got mocked, John Ball grew. He got mocked and ridiculed. And he went up on that cross and he hung there between heaven and earth. They mocked him right to his death. He then went through hell itself on the cross. He rose from the dead. And he sends out his servants to say, "Come, I've got a free dinner for you. You can feed on me." And you can literally eat dinner with me in my kingdom. I was honored to meet President Donald Trump. I was honored to talk to him. He talked to me about this church and called me pastor, and I led in prayer at his rally. A president, 45th president of the United States. But how much greater is it to meet Jesus Christ? He invites you. I didn't take that lightly when I had that invitation, although I did have Vacation Bible School, and I said when the Trump campaign asked me at first, I said, I don't know if I can be there. I had Vacation Bible School that night, but then my youth pastor graciously said, I can handle that, Pastor. I can do that. So I said, I'll go. What excuse are you going to give why you can't be saved? You say, I'm a sinner, and he won't accept me. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners, and he saved him. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No matter what you've done, he won't reject you. No excuses. No excuses will be accepted. And here is an excuse that is just a lie. And so many of these are. Look at the next excuse. See if that one holds water. Verse 19, another said, I have bought live yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Now listen, how many of you would buy a car sight unseen? If I'm going to buy a car, I'm going to have a mechanic check it out for me. I may not know everything I need to know, but I am going to have him check the engine. I'm going to have him check the underneath of the car, the body. I'm going to have a full check of that. I'm going to test drive that car. But here, he says, I bought these oxen, and now I've got to test them out. No, it's just an excuse, you see. And you know why we give these excuses? Because we're listening to the lies of the devil. And we're making excuses. There may be somebody here today that the Lord is asking you right now to receive me as your Savior. Receive my gift of eternal life. I'm offering it to the world. It's to you. He says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what racial background you're from. I don't care what religious background you're from. Oh, here's an excuse I hear sometime. I can't. Why? I'm Catholic. Joe, were you Catholic when you got saved? Amen. He was. He'll save a Baptist. He'll save a Catholic. He'll save a Pentecostal. He'll save a Presbyterian. You know, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the Presbyterians, right? He said, it doesn't matter your religious background. That's an excuse. People make excuses. Jesus said, come to me. He says, come to me now. He says, now is the accepted time. I will save you now if you come to me. You know, when it's too late, 1 second after you die. I remember my father, we keep asking, Dad, when are you going to get your preparations for your funeral and all that? He was getting in his 90s. He said, 1 second after I die, we'll take care of that. On the day I die, that'll be taken care of. And you know what? When he did die, he had everything taken care of because he had the money to get everything done, saved. And I was able to access it. But I want to tell you, 1 second after you die, it'll be too late. What will it profit if you gain the whole world? 1 second after you die, it'll be too late. You can't take with you your kids. You can't take with you your family. You can't take with you your spouse. You can't take with you your house. You can't take with you your car. Nothing. But everybody that's been saved by Jesus will be there to greet you on the other side. Amen? What a wonderful thing that'll be. Don't make excuses. Here's another one. Verse 20. And another said, I married a wife and therefore I cannot come. That is the most ridiculous one of all. I married a wife and therefore I can't come. I know when I got married, if somebody offered my wife and I a free meal, I'd say, let's have a date, hon. Let's have a date. We got a free dinner date here. That's an excuse. And people get away with their excuses. What excuses are you using not to come to church? Not to read your Bible? Not to pray? Not to do what the Lord wants you to do? And here they made excuses not to have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I am saying to you that before we have that dinner with Jesus, before we reign with Him, He said, I want you to invite people to my dinner, and it's a free invitation. It's all ready. I've done everything. I've prepared everything. You just invite them. He didn't do it. Notice Jesus isn't doing it. He's in heaven. He sent you and I to do it, who have received that invitation. He said, you go out and you invite them. But listen, you're going to have to increase your invitations because they're urgent, and you're going to have to endure excuses. You're going to have to endure because they're going to be prevalent. Do you know there are some people, they allow opposition to stop them. They go out to tell somebody about Jesus and somebody looks at them with an ugly face. Somebody says something bad to them and they say, I just can't take that. Well, Jesus took it for you. He said, if you take it for me, I'll praise you before the angels of God that you took it. The apostles were beaten. They were put in jail. They were threatened. But they didn't let that stop them. I'll tell you what, I've had things hit upon me to stop me from preaching Jesus Christ, but I am so glad after 46 years of being a pastor, I am still here saying Jesus Christ invites you to the most wonderful meal you'll ever eat. And therefore, you'll have to endure excuses to do what He wants you to do. And number three, and last, because your reactions are important to what you experience when you invite people. Notice the master's first response is, so the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being what? Angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. You see, he had invited his friends and they rejected it. So now he said, you go out to the halt and the blind and the lame. I thank God for churches that have a deaf ministry. I thank God for churches that have a Spanish ministry. I thank God for churches that are going out here and reaching people with a bus ministry. You know, years ago, we handed out a tract called Mary's Command to Catholics. And basically we're saying you shouldn't pray to Mary, you shouldn't worship Mary, because Mary said whatever Jesus said, you do what He said. And He said, accept Him as your Savior. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, not Mary and Jesus. There's no middleman or middle woman. People said you got to go to His mother because Jesus isn't compassionate. That's a lie. Right. He's filled with mercy and grace. You go right to Him. And, you know, we handed out that tract and some people got upset at it. And there was a reporter for the Scranton Times and he interviewed me as the pastor who led in that tract being handed out. And at that time, he interviewed also the Bishop of Scranton, Bishop Timlin at that time. And Bishop Timlin said, well, he said, they just have the poor that they go to. He said, they've hoodwinked them. They just go to the poor. They've hoodwinked them. Well, didn't Jesus say it's harder for a rich man to be saved than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? We go to the rich and we go to the poor, but a lot of times rich people turn their nose up at it. You know why? Because I don't need it. I've got everything in this world. But listen, you can't take it with you, Mr. Billionaire, Mr. Millionaire, Mr. Whoever you think you are. I haven't seen any hearses with U-Hauls behind it. Remember the rich man in Luke 16? When he died, he was in hell looking up, and the poor beggar that was on his property, he was in glory, in paradise. And he was begging the beggar, you know, begging Abraham to send the beggar to give him just a drop of water. People that have it all, they got a nice home, you come up to their door, oh, I don't need you. And a lot of times that poor person will say, yeah, I need you. Hey, it's better that you be poor in this life if you be rich. The Queen of England said, I know it's not many people that are great people that get saved, but I cast my crown at Jesus' feet. I want to be saved. That's a smart, wealthy person to say that. So Bishop Timlin, I guess he's not here now anymore. I'm still here. What good is it going to be if you're the Bishop of Scranton and you have all that, but you don't have Jesus? Yeah, that's all true, friends. I'm just saying it's not an excuse to say I'm Catholic or I'm this or I'm that. No, for by grace I'm saved through faith in Jesus plus nothing. And I'm so thankful for that gift of God that I have received. So the man was angry. And that tells us our Lord. He says, you go out to the poor and you bring them in. And I thank God, as I say, for our bus ministry and that we've been able to bring in poor kids and needy kids and see these kids get saved and see their lives change. That guy coming in the door right now is one of those kids. He was a bus kid. That guy right up here, he's one of those kids. He's a bus kid. That lady right over here was one of those kids. She's a bus kid. I'm just saying, thank God that the poor have the gospel preached to them. And your sin will make a rich man poor, but God's grace in Jesus Christ will make a poor man rich today. So wonderful. So he says something else here. He says, go out quickly. In other words, don't let excuses and rejections stop you. Let it make you angry and say, why would they reject that? I'm going to go to somebody that'll get it. And go out quickly. You know, I do fundraising for the school. We put candy in a business, and sometimes a business will reject it. Say, no, I'm not going to take that. And I get angry. I say, okay, I'm going to find somebody that will. And then some other business say, I'll take that candy. Oh, I love that. Let me help those kids. And I'll pray God's blessing down on those people. I remember one business, they gave us all kind of trouble and opposition and trouble and tried to stir up trouble. And I prayed God would just shrink that business and stop it, and he just got rid of it. It went. Jesus cursed the fig tree, amen, and it went down. When I was at the Trump rally, one of the politicians in Johnstown, she said, I heard you pray. Would you pray that God would defeat my opponent? I'm just saying to you that he said, he got angry and he said, go out quickly and go to people that will accept it. Go to people that will accept it. If they reject it, don't let that stop you. You keep on going until they do and they will accept it. And I was out Thursday night with Brendan and Steve, and we had these rejections, as I said. But then we went finally to a place over here in West Scranton, a big high-rise, Jackson Heights. We wound up seeing a man there, and Steve Manning had a hat on that was Air Force, because he was in the Air Force. And this guy said, "Were you in the Air Force?" Steve said, "Yeah." Come to find out, they were in during the same general time period. This guy was in a little before Steve, a little after, but it was the same type of thing. And he hit it off with Steve. He started talking to him. He was 90 years old. His wife got hit by a truck when she was 65. And he was living up there in that high rise. He prayed every morning, Catholic fella. But he didn't know how to be saved. And after Steve talked to him a while, I got to ask him the spiritual questions. And he was open-eared, and I got to tell him how he could be saved by Jesus Christ and by simple faith. And right there, he bowed his head and prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. We endured the opposition of excuses and rejection. And we kept going until we found somebody that was ready to receive it. And that's what the Lord said. And he said, "You go out extensively." And in verse 22, notice what it says in Luke 14. I'll read it. It says, "And the servant said, 'Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room.'" In other words, there's still room. By the way, this morning, a lot of people have been saved. But let me say, there's still room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. You see that? He's still inviting people. And people are still getting in. I would make sure I got in if I were you. I would not delay it. And so we need to go. And he said, go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. And that means go out to other cities where the highways connect one city to the other. And we've done that. We're not just reaching Scranton. We're going into Carbondale and Peckville and Einan. And we're going down there to Blakely and Archbald and Throop and Dunmore, and coming down to Dixon City and Oliphant and all of these places, and going down all the way to Wilkes-Barre. And I don't have time to name them all, but they're there. Why? Because that's our area. And you say, well, what's your vision? Well, look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. I'll read it. It says, The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be what? Filled. You know, they tell you Donald Trump's rallies aren't full. I went to the rally in Wilkes-Barre. I led in prayer at the rally in Wilkes-Barre. When that man stood up to speak, that place was filled to the rafters. I think it holds about 4,000 people. Don't listen to the liars that say it's not filled. It's filled. And you know what? I see people all over here, but I still see a lot of empty places that could be filled. And it's you and I that need to invite people. It's you and I that need to endure the excuses. It's you and I that need to react the right way and go out farther until we get more that would come and receive the wonderful gift of God. When I went to Michaela Cathio's campaign headquarters in Old Forge and was there, her place was filled at new headquarters. The Trump rally was filled. The house of God needs to be filled. And you need to endure excuses and increase your invitations, Christ says, because the invitations are very urgent. Because You're going to have excuses that are prevalent. And because your reactions are important. And at the judgment seat of Christ, he will look at you. He'll mention your name. And he will go over what you've done to get people to his dinner. You say, will their blood be required at my hands? If we fail to invite people, yes. And I don't want to be there. I don't want to fail. May you not be there either. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.